You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for joining me again on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Today I speak with Roberta Lee from the UK, who is a coach, stylist, speaker and blogger. And today she talks about balancing creativity, being the creatives in our own business, and building business, because they're sometimes two different things on opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of business building. So I introduce you to Roberta Lee from Roberta Style Lee. Roberta, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm really pleased to have you today, all the way from the UK.
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me. It's wonderful to be here, and I'm looking forward to our interview.
Likewise. Now, we met online, as you do, a wee while ago now, but I'm really keen for you to share your story, what you do. You're a confidence coach and stylist. Tell us about your business.
Okay, great. So, obviously I'm Roberta, and the business is called Roberta Style Lee. So it was really kind of centered around me and creating a positive brand, but it was kind of basically my opinions and views and things really started to kind of form and shape what I wanted to create in my business. And I didn't want to feel so separated from my business like I had done in my previous careers. In my previous careers, I had been corporate marketing and comms, and I felt like I had a slightly different identity in the workplace than I did out of the workplace. So when I wanted to create this business, I actually really wanted the business to, you know, be very aligned with who I was. So that's kind of like a little fun story with how I came up with the brand name. But Roberta Style Lee, because everybody always used to say I put the style into everything, so it was my middle name. So basically Roberta Style Lee is essentially a lifestyle business that helps women look good, feel good, and live a great life. What do I do? I coach, I style, I speak, I blog, and I host my own podcast. And I'm also the founder of the Ethical Brand Directory, which is a little platform that pulls together really beautiful ethical businesses to help people make more conscious sort of shopping choices. So got a lot going on over here in the Roberta Style Lee world.
you have indeed. So tell us a little bit about, what does a typical week look like for you? What are the primary things that you do?
Great, good question. At the moment, I do have an event coming up. So I've just recently got into doing London events, and I really underestimated how much time organizing events takes, how much effort and energy, especially in the capital when you're competing with thousands of other people hosting events as well on the same night. So my typical week will be working with clients. It will be following up with anything that's happened on my digital kind of landscape. So catching up with social, looking at anybody that's opted in to any of my tips, trying to nurture my email list, as we call it. Identifying new opportunities to collaborate with like-minded women. That's a huge part of this year. That was one thing that I wanted to really focus on. There's of course lots of activities that I find myself being involved in when you work on your own. So part of my process is I'm starting to offload a lot of activities to parts of my part-time team so that I can focus actually on my strategy for 2018, get some more clarity on how I want to deliver my business next year and how I want to spend my time. So a lot of thinking and strategy based things going on the moment, and a little bit of firefighting and a lot of day-to-day kind of management and organizing, and of course delivering with existing clients.
Well, I think it's a really important topic that you've brought up, and that is delegating and freeing yourself up to do the things that only you can do, and delegating actually what somebody else can do. And I think it doesn't matter what type of business you have, this is an important strategy to, well, not only success, but a little bit of freedom back in your life, right?
Absolutely. I think when, if you happen to be a creative person, which I know, you know, probably most of the listeners here on the podcast probably are because of the nature of being in your industry. I think when you're creative, you have a tendency to be drawn towards creation. We enjoy it as creatives. But one of the most kind of incredible moments I've had in this last month was a very successful entrepreneur that focuses on strategy said that creative entrepreneurs have to be very careful that they're not creative first, business owners second, that you have to be a business owner first and creative second. And I think it's a constant struggle if you're a natural creative. And I think I've fallen victim to that myself, wanting to go into creation mode a lot and actually delegating out lots of those activities that get in the way of money making are very important.
I think you're so right. And it doesn't matter, like you say, what type of creative business you're in. It certainly is a big struggle in the hair and beauty industry. And again, that's why I exist, I guess, and why I created the Freedom and Profit program, because that's the trap that I see. And I certainly fell into that myself for a long time. I wanted to be with clients. I love doing clients. And we have such a strong relationship with our clients. How do you let them go to run the business or pass that over to other people? But if you don't do that, you don't survive.
That's right. And I think that if anybody listening is actually currently going through that right now, it's a case of, you know, you're not on your own. Some of the most polished looking people that are out there on the internet that are advertising their businesses behind closed doors, you know, we're all struggling somehow or somewhere. And a lot of it is just a case of, you know, you've got to have a great team and you've got to delegate and you have to free up time to be a very successful business owner. Yeah. And if you don't have time, you can't think and you can't use that creativity to actually focus into your strategy and figure out how to make your business the best business it can be. So,
for sure, for sure. Now, tell us a little bit, one of your key goals or the thing that you primarily do is helping women have unshakable self-confidence. And this obviously is going to be a big barrier to success in business.
Oh, absolutely. And I love this kind of expression, unshakable self-confidence, because it's very aspirational. You don't wake up one day and you're just like super confident, you know, or you don't just drink a tonic and then you like, you know, everything is fine. And I think that's how we've got to
find it.
I think, you know, the really interesting thing is, and it was basically off of my own personal journey. You know, I decided I wanted to make a change, but I didn't make that change until I had let everything get too much, get on top of me. I lost my way. I have what I like to sort of call my confidence crash, which shocked everybody because on the surface, pretty much anybody that didn't really know me that well or just saw me always thought I had myself together because I always presented myself in such a way that no one would ever know that I was kind of crumbling on the inside. But what happened is, you know, I always had the old, you know, personal branding down. So no one would have ever known. But what I didn't do was actually take care of myself properly. And it sort of just, you know, if you push and you push and you push and you try to do everything all the time and you don't speak out and you don't ask for help and you don't communicate with others what you're going through, you can become very isolated and you can become your own worst enemy. And that happened to me. So I was really very confident. Then I ended up having this confidence crash. And then I thought, oh, do you know what? I just don't really, this is not something that other people should go through. And it was horrible. And I thought, well, I really want to help other women. I particularly love helping women, you know, find their purpose and their why, because like when you don't have that and you're just wandering through life, not really knowing, you know, who you are and what you stand for, little things can kind of get you down. So I wanted to create a business that would not only empower women to sort of figure out who they are and what their purpose is, to give them the tactics and the tools to build their confidence just in everyday life so that when they're ready to apply themselves to a project or get a promotion or run their own business, they've already built up the strategies for, you know, building their own confidence. And that was the one thing that was missing for me. And I had to go through the whole process. And I thought, well, I've learned all of this now. I'd love to be able to share it and help other women go through that. So I guess I kind of combined the two things, which was my confidence crash. How did I bounce back from that? And then how to actually use your personal branding, your own self-image, to portray this, you know, to look like you've got it all together, but how to find that balance. So I didn't have the balance before. I have the balance now, but it does take time. And it's certainly not a magic wand process. So my business kind of encapsulated all of that. And I've taken a real swerve as well, in terms of I didn't want to create a business that wasn't true to my values. So I really wanted part of the business DNA to be aligned with who I am as a person. So that's why Roberta Style Lee combines ethics, sustainability, conscious consumerism, confidence, empowerment, and style. These all sound like they're so separated, but they're actually every component of my life that I believe are really important things to do as a person and to do in business. And so therefore it's kind of interweaved throughout everything I do.
It's amazing. And I love that your business has been built from your own personal experience. And you know, that's shaped the whole business, hasn't it?
It has. And I don't think you can get out of bed on a really bad day if you haven't got a clear why, if your motivation of why you're doing something isn't so crystal clear to you and isn't so deep rooted into something that you feel passionate about. So that was, you know, when things get difficult, I just come back to why am I doing this? You know, so I do believe that every struggle is actually a lesson and it helps you move forwards. And you have to just recognize those struggles and they serve a purpose. And for me, they enabled me to create this business and this opportunity to reach and help lots of other women. And I think when women are empowered, they can create incredible impact. And that's like a great thing to be able to contribute towards. So that's what gets me out of bed.
I think you're so right. I mean, it comes down to that literal in the morning, can I actually force myself to lift the covers and get out of bed? And when there's a strong why, it's super easy. But when you've lost focus on that, that actually becomes a daily struggle. So what can women do if they feel like they've lost some confidence or lost their why? What's a good starting step to kind of start to build themselves back up?
Sure. Well, that's a really good question. I think it varies for everybody. But one of the things that I always sort of say to any of the ladies if I'm coaching with them is to, you know, first of all, you know, I always say that self-confidence is a must in whatever we do in life and business. And if your self-confidence is sort of, you know, it's feeling a little bit low, there are lots of little things that you can do to start to just top that up. And it doesn't have to be directly related to, you know, say, for example, we've like, you know, lost a little bit of enthusiasm for ourselves and our ability to deliver in our business. So sometimes we put too much focus on the outcome, like the actual thing we want to achieve. And sometimes it's about flipping that on its head and actually looking at small things that we disregard that are just part of everyday life. So I always recommend that we focus on the basics, which are your sleep, your nutrition, and your exercise. Because when you actually focus on yourself, we're not machines. Like our bodies adapt to stress, to I was going to say, you know, like if we poorly manage our lifestyle, our bodies will adapt. Okay. And then, you know, we won't be operating as great as we could be, but we adapt. Human bodies, we're really versatile, but that's also a curse as well, because we don't get the red flag in time. Yeah. So one of the things I always say to people is, you know, when you think you haven't got the time now, you know, you're just shaving that time off your life expectancy. You know, like you can't find that 1 hour to just prep some healthy, nutritious food, or to go to bed a bit earlier, or to just, you know, go for that run. you know, you're actually cutting your life expectancy shorter, because if you work at this intensity doing this many things, like, you know, you're not going to be able to kind of live this long, wonderful life that you're trying to build if you don't invest in yourself. So that's like really crazy, because it's not a direct confidence tip. It's just about sort of self-respect of your own body and your lifestyle. And that's one of the things that goes out the window for most people when they're running a business. And it did for me as well. But you have to be very disciplined with yourself. And so if you set yourself small daily tasks and you achieve them, okay, you feel great.
Yeah.
So if you wake up every day and you say, I haven't got time for a 1 hour run, but I could do 10 minutes, and you do that 5 days out of seven. And at the end of the week, you're like, do you know what? Yeah, smashed it. Good. The next week, you're like, actually, I can do 11 minutes. And then the next week, you're up to 12 minutes. And you're like, actually, Joe, over the last month, I have consistently been getting up and investing in myself. And the great thing about just fitness, as an example, is fitness really does help bolster self-esteem. It releases endorphins, it combats stress, it gives you the feeling that you're in control of your body, makes you feel strong. So that's one of the things that I always suggest to people if you are feeling a bit low in the old self-confidence department, is to take a little look at your lifestyle and see whether you're actually doing enough stuff for yourself. Because poor sleep, poor nutrition, and no exercise, is you're not going to feel good about yourself. So that's that's the first thing.
And I just got to say, I really love that. The thing that really struck me the most was that you're shaving a bit off your life. Like, that you've got to find your button, right? The button that pushes you. That mm-hmm. I'm going to remember that one if I need to get off my chair and go for a walk or eat the right food. Then, yeah, I actually don't want to shave time off my life because I want to be around for my kids. I like that. That's really, really good. Yeah. And I think, you know, for our industry too, not only are we creative, but we're typically givers, because we're mm-hmm. giving to our clients and we're being there for them and we're servicing them and then we're servicing our team and then we come home and we service our children and we're just giving, giving, giving. But in fact, what you're saying is, if you don't have self-respect first, there's going to be nothing to give.
That's absolutely. Yeah. And you can't, this expression is you can't give from an empty cup.
No, that's right. Why do we forget that so much? So good reminder, good reminder.
I know. I mean, and it's always the same people that burn out and fall into the same repeat cycle. It's yeah. people that are very giving, with very big hearts, that love to contribute to society. They like to do good, give back. They love to see a smile on someone else's face. Now, those are unfortunately the people that tend to give too much all of the time. And then they'll be the ones that turn up saying, I've burnt out, I'm overwhelmed, it's happened yeah. again.
Yeah.
So that's something to be aware of. I'm a very giving person. I also said about how many projects I take on. I yeah. do a lot of things that are sort of charitable or giving back to the community. But I had to have strong words with myself this year. Because the giving is great, but it should never be at the cost of yourself. And it was starting to cost me my time, my sleep, my health. Yeah. I wasn't being able to work out as much. And I was like, hey, hang on a minute. You know, this isn't sustainable. This isn't actually good for me. And I'm actually probably not giving these people the best version of me. It's compromised. Yeah. So that is just so incredibly important that we, you know, you really take care of yourself, because nobody else is going to take care of you the way you take care of other people. It's your responsibility to do it for yourself.
That's right.
And it took me a long time to actually realize that no one was going to come and save me or tap me on the shoulder or remind me, hey, Roberta, if you don't take care of yourself, you know, imagine what you're going to be like when you're, you know, sort of 50, 60, 70. Like, do you want to have a healthy, able and wonderful lifestyle? Because you need to do something about it.
Now.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow. Now.
Okay. I can really see how that actually is so tied into self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Well and truly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's probably because when I started my journey, Roberta Stioli, initially the business was going to be a lifestyle platform that helped people look good and feel good and live great through offering fitness, fashion, and lifestyle advice. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, my goodness, I'm not like Elle magazine. I can't possibly deliver all of this separate content and be an expert in all of these different fields. But what I did do is I took time out for myself after I left my corporate career, and I retrained as a personal trainer for myself. Mm-hmm. And that really opened my eyes up to how my body works, having respect for what my body needs, understanding how my body functions better if I eat nutritious food, and how my body needs time to repair, so that rest and recovery. And I do a bit of personal training on the side at the moment because I enjoy helping people, but it's not the core of my business. But it gave me the foundations for understanding how to take care of myself.
Yeah.
And that actually was like one of the biggest confidence boosting things I could have done for myself, is
I used
that power, you know, that if I'm having a crap day and I'm overwhelmed with everything and my to-do list is longer than my arm and I'm stressed and there are people calling me and I'm just like, I just don't know what to do. I just switch everything off and I'll just work out for 15, 20 minutes really hard, even if it's not convenient to do.
Yeah, that's cool. Yep.
That I'll do sense. It. And then do you know what? It's like the mist moves. My focus comes back. I suddenly feel capable again.
Yeah.
I feel good about myself because I'm like, instead of just sitting here and stressing out, instead I took positive action. I just did something for myself. Now my brain is working. Now I can think properly. And it's funny because sometimes all you need to do is just put 20 minutes into yourself.
Yeah.
And then everything is better. But yes, so you know, don't ever underestimate the power of taking care of yourself. It's really important.
For sure. So how, because you are not only a confidence coach, but also a stylist, so I can see that there's a strong connection between self-confidence and your personal brand, I guess. Tell us mm-hmm. a little bit about that.
Yeah, so... So the confidence coaching, as you can tell, all came off of the back of that journey and things. But the other thing that was really a very big part of my life was fashion. And I've always loved it, but I never really sort of thought about it in a way that, I suppose I've spoken to some other people and they say, yeah, but it's fine for you because you get it. You know how to do it, but I don't enjoy fashion. I don't like dressing a certain way. So I realized actually I had something else that I could bring to the table, because my background is actually performing arts. So I used to I used to love doing the costume and working on the staging and making everything look beautiful.
Yeah.
So I realized that the styling part was really about just kind of how to sort of style yourself so that when you wake up and you step out the door, you're actually stepping into the best version of yourself every day, because it really puts you step onto a good foot, a good pair of shoes, you know, you feel great about yourself. And that was one of my secret weapons when I worked in corporate. As I mentioned, like, people always thought that I was so pulled together and so confident, and I was capable, and everybody sort of depended on me and trusted me. And a lot of that was to do with the fact that I used to wake up in the morning and make sure that I just actually pulled myself together and looked good. And I would create, so I guess I used to see fashion as my armor for everyday life. Mm. And that's always been like something that I could super boost my confidence with. So I realized that was a powerful tool for women to use, and lots of women were not utilizing it or using it in a way to sort of, you know, improve how they feel about themselves, how to improve how they come across in their business. And then as I started to build my business, I started to notice that lots of women's personal style was not aligned with their personal brand. And I was like, okay, so that's really interesting. So what I discovered from this journey, talking to all these different women that are in the process of setting up their business or are in business already, when we sort of talk about, you know, fashion and personal style, they would just say, well, I don't really have any particular style. I mean, I've got kids, I'm busy. I just throw on what I can for convenience, you know. And I just thought, well, that's really interesting, because what when you meet somebody, you know, the reaction that you have, you make an instant sort of judgment on somebody. So how you present yourself to the world is like instant language. And it reminds me of one of my favorite quotes by Mucha Prada, was, "What you wear is how you present yourself to the world, especially today when human contacts are so quick." Mm. And I love that quote. I love it. And it just reminds me every day when I step out the door, I'm in business, you know. Yeah. I need to step out as the best version of myself. And when I do that, my confidence skyrockets.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize other women struggle with that, genuinely, because it's never been a problem for me. It comes natural to me. I know how to dress. I know how to be creative. I know how to create a capsule collection. You know, I've got my signature style. So it's not a problem for me. But I started to realize that lots of other women just, that's not something that comes natural to them. So I was like, right, okay, well, let's start seeing how we can incorporate that. And hence, that's why I've just launched my new course, Create Your Signature Style, to help women actually figure out who they are and how they want to dress and how they want to be perceived by the world. And that in turn is going to boost their confidence and help them with their business.
Yeah, and if you've got clarity around your personal style, then actually on a daily basis, it doesn't become a problem. You know, it's not feel like big decisions that you need to make. And in fact, the challenge, I guess, is that when you're not feeling confident, or your confidence has been knocked, or you're not feeling in that sort of powerful position, you actually naturally fall into not dressing confidently. Mm-hmm. Whereas in fact, you need to flip it on its head, don't you? You need to
absolutely
to do that first, to dress and present your personal brand, as you call it, to then gain the confidence.
Yeah, and it does. There's lots of statistics out there, but I think one of the things that we all know is that you can't feel miserable whilst you're smiling.
Yeah,
like you can't feel sad when you smile, and you don't feel I don't want to say the word weak, but I mean you don't feel less strong. I don't know what word I'm looking for now, but basically what my point is, if you are feeling a little nervous or shy about something, it is actually proven physically and scientifically that if you stand in a power pose, you put some high heels on, which will jolt your posture. If you raise your chin, put your hand on your hips, and you open up your chest and you pull your shoulders back, what will happen is your body will actually help you kind of pass positive energy all the way through. And in turn, you'll actually feel more capable, and that will help you feel more confident. And it's such an overused expression, power poses, but it does actually work. And that if you combine that with a killer dress and great heels, you're on to a winner.
I love that, because that you can use that. I mean, I just think about, you know, in the salon environment, you've got to face a staff member that you feel really nervous about, who's, you know, for lack of a better word, misbehaving, or a client that's come back for a complaint. Those things can really not, you know, you can go into those not feeling confident. Mm-hmm. But in fact, if you're power dressed and you do your power pose prior, lots of P's there.
Yes.
then that actually can make all the difference.
Absolutely. So here's another great tip as well. If you are basically just in a bit of a tizz, you're having one of those days where overwhelm seems to be, you know, the main thing that you're focused on trying to combat, don't dress in comfy slacks. This is one of my best tips. It's basically, and if you're going out and you need to look like you've got your, you know, yourself together, go for something structured. Because actually, when things are structured and all pulled together, your emotions will actually tie back into that as well. If you go into like slouchy, free-for-all, you know, your comfy, you know, I don't know, your comfy walking boots and all flowy, like you won't get your emotions and your overwhelm in check. But if you put on a structured skirt, some structured items, it will help you sort of contain everything that's going on. And how you come across and how people perceive you will be like, you're structured, you've got yourself together. And then actually you'll believe that too when you look in the mirror, and what you see isn't just something that's just sort of flowing all over the place.
That's so interesting. It's kind of like package the outside, organize the outside, and it flows on into the inside.
It does, yeah.
So cool. All right. That's, yeah. I love that. Some power poses and structured dressing. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're really, really simple tweaks you can do. I mean, obviously there is no dress in the world that can, you know, fix deep rooted internal kind of confidence issues. But these are just little tricks that you can apply throughout your life if you want a little boost. Now, I think we are very fortunate as women to have an abundance of clothing and styles and opportunities and ways that we can dress that's considered socially acceptable. Mm. You know, men don't have the same options as us. So we have these tools available. I say use them and use them to your advantage.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. I love that. It's been really, really interesting and also very useful, tactical and useful, which is great. So look, yes. As we work towards wrapping up, I know you've got some really great quotes or mantras that you follow. You've already told us a great one, which I jotted down. Give us, what is your mantra?
Okay, so one of mine that I like to say is confidence manifests itself in everything that we do, from the moment we wake up to how we dress, what we say, where we shop. You know, it all adds up. So how we sleep and everything in between, that's one of my favorites, is we basically forget that the little things that we do throughout the day, if we do the right little things, they can make a phenomenal difference. So never underestimate that confidence is, you know, the opportunity to build your confidence is lurking throughout every hour and every minute of your day.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay. And did you have another one as well, Roberta?
Oh, I did. Yes, I did. I have one on style. Yes, absolutely. And I love this one. And it's always stayed with me because, so here's the quote that I always say, style is a way of saying who you are without speaking. What you wear and how you show up not only affects how you feel about yourself, but how others perceive you. And I think that quote ties in really nicely with what we just spoke about.
For sure. And I think also for the hair and beauty businesses, you know, how you show up inside of that business really represents your whole brand for your team right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. I don't know if I've got time, but I'll just give you a very quick example.
Please.
When I was in corporate, I was doing some interviews, a slightly different environment, but this lady turned up. I mean, it was years ago. She turned up and she was all like red faced and flustered. So she was obviously late and stuck in, you know, London traffic, but her hair was all wiry and it wasn't brushed or anything. And like her suit wasn't really fitted or anything. It was just kind of on. I noticed like the collar was like a little bit, you know, not ironed properly. And I looked at her tights and there was a ladder in her tights. And I looked at her shoes and her shoes were scruffy. They like had all scratches on. They needed to go to be taken to the shoe repair shop or something. And I just thought, crikey, is that how you show up to an interview? I mean, if you go to an interview, you plan for the unexpected, right? Yeah. Like you go, what happens if I'm late? What happens if I snag these tights? I pack a spare pair. What happens if someone looks at my shoes? Well, I'm not going to wear, you know, scrappy, horrible shoes. And I made an instant judgment on her capabilities to work and manage the project. How would she cope? Like if that's how she shows up to an interview. So that I think is a really powerful example and story. And I don't consider myself to be that judgmental, but I'm telling you now, it was an instant reaction.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I think that instant reaction happens in any engagement within 3 seconds, I would say.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. And so again, you know, if you're inside your business and your confidence hasn't allowed you to power dress, shall we say, that's my new saying now, your clients are judging you.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
And people are always judging people. I mean, I think it's easy when people get to know you, like you and trust you. Those initial reactions are sort of less important. But I think it's a matter of pride and self-respect.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't undervalue yourself. You should find the time to wake up, love yourself, invest in yourself, present your best self to the world, because you know what? You deserve it. And you know, you shouldn't show up as anything less.
Absolutely. So one of the things that really helps me in my self-confidence, or if I'm, you know, feeling a bit shaky on anything, I have a go-to podcast that I listen to. And the best lesson I learned actually was to not, you don't, sometimes you don't just listen to something once. You can go, I go back to the same one again and again. It's about 28 minutes long, and there's just some great lessons in there. So maybe I'll share in the notes along. I know you're going to make some recommendations to us. That podcast, just, you know, to give yourself an internal boost, readjust my self-talk, and I tell you what, it just really helps. So share with us, what are some books or podcasts or webinars or something that you know that you think the hair and beauty industry would benefit from?
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. I think there's a few that come to mind for me based on your industry is the book. Actually, you know, this guy as well, because he was in our entrepreneur group, Larissa, but it's 7-Day Startup by Dan Norris.
Yeah.
And yes, I was procrastinating about launching my website, launching some online services, all of this stuff. And I started reading his book, and it just kind of kicked me up the bum. And I thought, you know what, just launch and learn.
Yeah.
Stop procrastinating. And I thought, that's a really good book to just encourage you to get stuff done. Now, yes, his industry is a bit different. It's like websites, what have you. But when you're a business owner and you're starting out, you tend to wear a lot of hats. Yeah. Like, I'm not a website person, and you know, I shouldn't be a website person, but I still, you know, built my own website. So there's still a lot of value that can be that from come from that book. And one of my favorite books, is mostly books actually that I've got to recommend, is Leading Change by John Cotter. And this was my Bible when I worked in corporate, because it helped me understand how to manage stakeholders, how to deal with people, influence them, and create positive change. I loved this book. And it's a really, it's an oldie, but a goodie. And the other one I have, which I think would be really great for salon owners that have teams, it's called The Coaching Habit. And you don't have to worry about if you're not a coach or what have you, but it's a guide that helps you ask the right questions so that the people that work with you or for you feel empowered, listened to, which inspires them to do more great work. So it's called The Coaching Habit by Michael Bungay Stanier.
Fantastic. We might have to type that surname out.
You know what I will do? I will send over to you the books.
I'll put those links on the show notes.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, it, you know, I've spoke about, you know, ethics and sustainability and all these other things that form the DNA of my business. And it's just, if any of you are sort of interested in you know, why ethics and sustainability is important in your business, because it's important for every business owners to understand what their role is and what their position and view is on this. Just watch a couple of movies, The True Cost, Plastic Ocean, and My Fancy High Heels. These are documentaries that will change your life.
Wow. Okay. I'm intrigued, especially the Plastic Ocean. That, oh golly. All right. Yeah. Look, you're just full of so many interesting things. So I want people to be able to find you and stalk you. Where can we find you?
Okay, great. Well, I'll start with, first of all, obviously, I've got my website, which is Roberta Style Lee, and I spell my surname L-E-E, and it's .co.uk. I'm also on Twitter at Roberta Lee, but the zero is, so the O is a zero, it's a number, so it's Roberta Lee. I'm on Facebook at Roberta Style Lee, and Instagram, Roberta Style Lee. And of course, I have my little side project, which is my little give back, which is the Ethical Brand Directory, which is ethicalbranddirectory.com. And I think that's it. The only other thing is, if you are interested in being inspired by other women's journeys and learning how to boost your confidence, you can check out my podcast, which is all about how to be more confident and, you know, live the life you deserve. And that's the Inspirational Women series on iTunes. You can search and find it.
Fantastic. And I've been a follower of your podcast, so I highly recommend it. Look, thank you so much for investing some time to the Salon Owners Collective. I really, really appreciate it. I will see you more online.
Exactly. Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Very welcome.
So there you have it. As Roberta says, investing in yourself, self-happiness, and always growing, whether it's personal or business development, it all starts with you. Now, if you need a place to get some business and personal development, then I encourage you to come and join me in the Salon Owners Collective Hub. We're in the throes of planning out 2018 to make it the most wildly successful year yet. January is social media month. I've got some awesome guests coming to talk to us about how to nail that and make money from Facebook. Teaching your team to upgrade like a boss through awesome consultation is the focus in February. And in March, we're focusing on building your own brand story. It's all in store in the next few months in the Hub. The Salon Owners Collective Hub has plenty of other resources already in there waiting for you, for you to fast track your business to success. So you can fully book out your salon, that's a Kiwi accent for you, and grow and retain a team of rock stars. Earn more while leaving plenty of space for you to have in your own life. As you know, the thing I'm most passionate about is creating freedom for you and building profit from your business. You know, you didn't get into business to have a charity. So come and join me in the Salon Owners Collective Hub. I really look forward to seeing you there. And I will also speak to you again next week on the podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.